Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Browder. She's Marjorie. And here's a quick review of some of the headlines topping the sports pages over the last few days. Not just sports pages, too. Five reasons to love California Chrome. California Chrome, working class hero. California Chrome, easy for me to say. A horse and a horse story for the ages. Joining us in Studio 3, as she does every Tuesday, surprising guest for this, but not so surprising, to read between these headlines and explain the universal appeal of this true workhorse is Nancy Kane. Nancy, as you know, is an historian at the Harvard Business School, where she holds the James E. Robison Chair of Business Administration. Her latest book is called Ernest Shackleton, Exploring Leadership. Hello there, Nancy.
Hey there.
Now, before we get to these horses, and I can't wait to talk about California Chrome and the whole Triple Crown thing. You're a historian. You're at Harvard Business School. What's up with you and the horses? You were into horses.
I'm very into horses. I took up riding in my early 40s when big dominoes in my life, big, you know, touchstones were crumbling down, and I was looking for a way to make sense of what was happening and a way to escape from what was happening and a serious challenge. I didn't know how serious the challenge of trying to ride and ultimately jump and then show horses was until I began. But I have lived very, very closely with horses for almost 10 years and have become quite a horsewoman and can't imagine living anywhere but that in that place, because I've learned so much, I've grown so much, and horses, you know, play to our better, truer selves by the overwhelming majority of them by being simply noble, intuitive, and ultimately service-oriented creatures.
Why do you say noble?
Well, they are some of the most noble animals. They are wild animals that were domesticated thousands of years ago, and that, you know, now have all domesticated horses have a job to do. Most of them, 95% of them, love doing their job, and they do amazing things. You know, whether we're talking about the horses that are one of a kind, like Secretariat or California Chrome, or whether we're talking about Toronto, my big white, you know, 17 and change warm blood that will jump anything and take care of me as he does. These are animals that work for man in pursuit of, in some cases, big, audacious, very, very hard to reach goals, and do so with pluck and heart. And I mean, Secretariat being the most, you know, the kind of clearest, boldest, most dramatic example of that. And yet the reason that anyone that knows anything about horses can relate to Secretariat is because he's simply an example of what most horses do every day.
You know, you're working a book on leadership, and you've told us who the five subjects are. How come Secretariat is not one of the five
subjects?
That's
a very good question. And, you know, I've talked so much with executives.
She's taking this seriously, by the
way.
I'm very, very serious.
I couldn't be more serious. And, in fact, I wrote two pieces for the HuffPost a couple of years ago about what I'd learned about leadership from riding horses, from getting, you know, because I remember, good listeners, I started when I was in my early 40s with the five-year-olds on the ponies on the lead line, right? And then graduated to the, you know, the eight-year-olds and then the teenagers, and now I'm a serious horsewoman. So I know what I'm talking about, and I wrote a couple of columns about what I'd learned literally about leading men and women from learning to work with horses. So I think
give us the number one.
For one example is, if you don't get inside your horse's head and you think that your spurs and your whip, which we folks call a crop in the horse world, is somehow going to make your horse get with the job, get with the program, just like you think, you know, threatening and kicking, metaphorically or physically, your workforce is somehow going to deliver on your mission most effectively, you got another thing coming.
Okay, so here's the deal. We got to hold you right there for one second before you continue, because if you want to make Marjorie Egan cry, all you do is you rent her a DVD of Secretariat, the movie. No woman. How many times have you seen it, Marjorie?
Probably 12 times.
Okay, fine. Now, here is, just to get you in the mood, here is, for those too young for this, in 1973, Secretariat...
That's June 9th, 1973.
Excuse me. Won the Triple Crown. He didn't just win the Triple Crown. He won the Triple Crown by 31 lengths. Here's a little bit of the call. Now, there is inspirational music in the background.
The Belmont Stakes,
my apologies, right? We want to set the tone. Here's a little bit of near the end of that historic race.
Secretariat is frightening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn.
Okay, in enough of that because Marjorie is weeping. I mean,
that was from the movie. So
no, that's the actual call.
That is
from
the
NBC.
Call, yeah.
And for all of our listeners, whenever you need just a little bit of inspiration, or you feel like the world, you know, has shut too many doors on you today, you need to Google the YouTube recently kind of refreshed actual video of the race. It's only about 2 minutes and some change from the gate on, and you need to watch this astounding race and watch these two horses neck and neck from right outside the gate all the way around the first turn, mile and a half, all the way around the backstretch, and just in the last three quarters of the backstretch, you watch this horse pull ahead, and then you watch, and then I went back because I knew we'd be talking about California Chrome, and I read some of what the folks that were there that day said about what they were seeing and thinking as the horse pulls ahead. And 2-1, with the exception of Penny Chenery or Penny Tweedy, depending on whether you use her maiden name or a married name, the owner of Secretariat, depending on who you ask, they were all the experts were worried that the horse was going to collapse. He was going too fast by kind of continuing to speed up because he clocks each furlong in that race at a faster rate than he clocked the one before. And when he finishes at 31 lengths, he runs, he takes 2 seconds. That doesn't sound like a lot to you and me, but trust me, in horse racing time, that is measured in tenths and one hundredths of a second. That was amazing. 2 seconds off the record. No horse ever in the history of horse racing has raced that length of race at that kind of speed, with that kind of margin of victory. It's an astounding story. And yet, again, as people watched it, they thought the horse was going to die because he was running too fast. The trainer, Lucy, who's played by John Malkovich in the movie, Diane Lane,
terrific.
Plays Penny Chenery.
Malkovich
incidentally,
is great.
If you watch the movie, the last few shots of the horse running actually have the real woman, Penny Chenery, is in the back of Diane Lane, who's playing her in the movie. She's in the audience right behind her, which is just kind of an interesting, not nifty decision on the part of the director. In any event, Lucy and Lucian, the trainer played by Malkovich, kept thinking, not the horse is going to die, but Ronnie Turco, the jockey who was actually at the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, watching California Chrome and rooting for him, he said he was worried, oh my God, Ronnie Turco's going to fall off, the horse is going so fast. But nothing happened. The horse won, the horse was fine, the horse went on to win some other races, and then pretty quickly to go out to stud. But still, it's a story of great spirit and great belief and great faith, and a horse that, less so than California Chrome, but still, that came very much from behind and that blew away everybody's expectations because no one thought that either of these horses was going anywhere.
And the California Chrome story, obviously people wanted a Triple Crown after 30-some years,
right,
again to reinvigorate the sport, plus casual observers who only listen to or watch horse racing, 8 minutes a year,
right,
wanted this to happen. The story there was the working class hero, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So here's just the rough outline. So two colleagues, partners, Steve Colburn and Perry Martin, both of whom, and their wives, who are not listed as owners, but very much part of the story, took a small part in Love the Chase, a mare that had cost more than they actually paid for her, but had really was just losing and losing and losing. They had a 5% stake. And when the syndicate that owned that horse, the majority of the horse, decided to sell, they, who loved the horse, bought it, again, against all good sound counsel, for $8,000. They then studied breeding. They never done this before, studied breeding, and sired and mated the horse, or bred the mare with another horse that they paid a $2,500 stud fee, which, trust me, that's a Walmart price for stud fees in the sport of kings, wealthy elite world of thoroughbred racing. And then from that pairing came this horse with four white socks and the big white blaze, chestnut horse. And the reason the horse is called Chrome is because in the racing world, that's the nickname for all that white, like chrome on a car, all that white is chrome. And so when Colburn and Martin and their wives were trying to think about what to name it, they put a bunch of names in the hat in a restaurant, and a waitress pulled out California Chrome, and the horse became California Chrome.
You know what one of the alternatives in the hat was I just read this morning? See Bisquick. That's totally
right. Naming another horse, exactly, from behind, right from the 30s, that made his name on
Seabiscuit,
the Santa,
of course,
Ana,
yeah,
racetrack, where also California. So the interesting thing about the horses, and there's lots of, you know, folklore around this, and Steve Colburn had this dream right after the horse was born that he was going to
win the Kentucky Derby.
Win the Kentucky Derby, was that you know, was that he comes from nothing, that they hire this trainer, Art Sherman, who had never trained. 77-year-old, whose son, both sons they knew, Steve and Alan, and who had never trained a Derby horse, and whose closest relation with a Derby horse was really this wonderful story that he slept on a boxcar, right, with Swaps, the 1955 winner. Of the Kentucky Derby on the cross-continental train ride, because we didn't fly horses then. We FedEx them now everywhere, literally FedEx them, but not in boxes, in stalls. And so this was, all these connections. There's a great line in Seabiscuit, the wonderful book by Lauren Hildebrand, where she's describing the different parties coming together, the owner, the jockey, in this case, Victor Espinoza for California Chrome, again, coming from not a land of starlight and cameras flashing. She says, when they all come together around this horse, and they're going to make a run for the big time at Santa Ana, she says their crowded hour together had begun. And that is exactly this story for California Chrome. So you got Art Sherman, his son Alan, who was briefly a jockey before he said, I like to eat too much, and Victor Espinoza, who'd been exercising horses in Mexico and had not ridden at this kind of level on a consistent basis. And then Perry Martin and the much more vocal and kind of in front of the camera Steve Colburn, and this very interesting, very, very dramatic run for the Derby, where he wins four astoundingly big purses and races right before, then goes into the Derby as a slight favorite. But I just looked today, I went back and looked at some of the sportscasters who know racing, like Joe Drape at the New York Times and others, talking about Chrome, and all of them are like, yeah, he's the favorite, but do you really think he can pull it out? Well, he pulls it out in both cases, in the Preakness and the Derby, right, with a different strategy than he had in the Belmont Stakes. He pulls out in front, and then the horses get close, and then in the stretch in each of these races, he shoots ahead. And that's what the owners and Sherman saw as he began to win those races that were the prelude to the Derby, this astounding firepower that we saw with Secretariat. So the horse, who is clearly like an intelligent, noble, like, I'm going to make the donuts horse, right, doesn't win the Belmont Stakes, you know, for a couple of reasons. But the most important of which is, in the end, he didn't quite have the gas to do it. Now his foot was injured in the coming out of the gate by himself. This happens all the time with horses, jumpers, racers. They bump their feet and their tender feet get cut. But whatever, for whatever reason, there is no reason for America to fall out of love with California Chrome, because this is an astounding story, astounding horse. He's probably going to race again. I hope Sherman's serious when he says he's going to put him in the Breeders' Cup late this summer, which is a lot of older horses that'll race. I bet he'll do really well. But here's the really interesting question for us. Why did we fall in love? Why did all those people watch? Why was I standing there in the executive conference center at Babson with all these executives that I was coaching? We're on a break, and we're all standing there, none of whom know anything about racing, screaming for this horse. And here's what I think the answer is. I think the answer is partly about coming from behind. It's partly about the working class origins. And that's very important as the world gets more elite and income inequality gets worse. Yeah, we want to believe that there's an astounding meritocracy that's full of possibility. And that's important. But I think there's something else. I think it's that there's all this idealism in the world out there. It's latent, but it's powerful. And it's waiting for outlets. So what is California Chrome? California Chrome is a door opening into that idealism, into our collective belief and aspiration for the power of noble-hearted spirits that are serious and have a lot of sweat equity. Well, that's what that horse is. That's what these owners are. That's what this story is, just like Secretariat with Penny Chenery.
Yeah,
there's a social issue here that is very, very important, because I'm sorry, we're not seeing that in our public arenas
today.
Okay,
so wait a second. Nancy Kane from Harvard Business School. I want to totally believe what you just said, but tell me that if the horse had not come from humble backgrounds, that if Colburn and Perry, the owners, were not a non-traditional owners, but it was from the elite stables of Kentucky, and the owners were millionaires who'd been in the trade for lifetimes. Tell me that people wouldn't have been rooting for this horse to win the Triple Crown. I want you to convince me that they wouldn't have been rooting as hard. You don't think they would have?
Oh, I think it's possible. I mean, sure, there wouldn't have been a lot of interest, right? We know that the ratings are partly about winning the Triple Crown,
yeah,
as opposed to California Chrome's particular story. But I think there would have been a lot of interest. But I'm still not sure I'm wrong. That is, I think we're looking. I mean, the story of a horse that, like this horse, was, and the reason that Colburn and Martin chose Sherman is because he had a reputation for patience and honesty and integrity in developing horses. That's not true of all horse racing. That's not true of all politics. That's not true of all business. Patience, honesty, you know, integrity in the dealings of caring for these animals and training them. I think that if we saw a horse like that, you know, that was from Claiborne Stables, these fine stables where Secretariat went out to stud, not far from Churchill Downs in Louisville, I think we'd still have America rooting for, you know, an animal and a team of people caring for that and developing that animal that can do this very, very difficult thing.
However,
right, and they can do it, right, with the patience again and the seriousness of purpose. And I think all Americans, I've learned this in my own life working with executives, all Americans are curious about horses. We're just interested in horses, whether we're scared of them and have ever touched one or not. We're interested in them. Right, there's something in the horse that interests us. I think there would have been a lot of interest. However, this story is particularly interesting because it's against all odds.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want, right? Who isn't interested in an against all odds story?
By the way, I agree. And for those who don't know, most people now know Coburn not only because he's the part owner of the horse, yeah, but because we should actually hear this. This,
yeah,
is both because many people haven't heard the apology. He did go nuts immediately after losing the race.
I thought he had a point.
And then he had the apology. Here's the original statement, and then
right
here's the apology
the
on Good Morning America. Listen.
This is a coward's way out, in my opinion. This is a coward's way out.
So you think they came right after your horse and that was the plan, just like they have other potential,
yeah,
triple crowns?
Exactly.
I want to apologize to everybody associated with Tunnelist, his trainer, Mr. Clement. I sincerely apologize. I want to apologize to all the horse racing in the world. I want to apologize to my wife, Carolyn.
And by the way, the coward's way out, for those who don't know, is Tonalist didn't race in the first couple of races. As a result, didn't have to do three strenuous
things. It's a point.
However, the great story, the reason I even brought that up, because that's been discussed ad nauseum, this guy's comments. You know what he does, Marjorie and Nancy?
Yeah.
He's a press operator with his firm in Nevada that makes magnetic strips
for credit cards.
I mean, do you love that?
Yeah,
or do you
Perry,
love that?
And Perry Martin owns a small mechanical testing firm.
Yeah.
Right? In California.
And that is part of the appeal that you were talking about.
We could
be that person.
And P.S., for those that are really interested in the details of this story, when they bought Love the Chase, the mare that foaled California Chrome, one of the grooms for that mare said, God, this is a dumbass move. So they titled their partnership DAP for dumbass partners. So the Victor, when Victor Espinoza went out in his purple silks on, you know, at the Belmont, he wore, right, DAP on his back of those silks with a donkey. So, I mean, these people had a sense of humor, and it speaks again to the doing something against all odds. And let's not, again, forget how important the fact that this is an animal doing this, right, for a bunch of people is in this story. And again, the combination of against all odds, the lowly origins, the pluck and determination and perseverance of the horse and all the people that cared for him and his great big heart. My God, that's like the stuff of a movie.
It's the stuff of a movie. And by the way, Secretariat, one of the things about Secretariat is that the woman, she was a woman who chose
She won him in a flip of a coin.
She won the flip of a coin. And the guy that was the big horse guy says, oh, I got the best horse. It turns out he was wrong and she was right. And she was derided as a housewife and didn't know what she was talking about until she produced this horse. So there was a kind of a different sort of
it was definitely against all odds story.
Yeah,
right?
It was.
But at the center of the story is, remember, dear listener, right, as Bronte said, dear reader, I married him. Remember, dear listener, these are animals that do amazing things for men. And that's important as we think about our obligations to all kinds of sentient creatures.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Nancy Kane from the Harvard Business School, where she holds the James E. Robeson Chair of Business Administration, and her latest book is Ernest Shackleton, Exploring Leadership. Thank you for being here, Nancy.
California Chrome, Exploring Leadership.
I can't get enough of these horses either. Thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Tune in tomorrow for Attorney General Martha Cloakley and our concert roundtable. Our show is a production of WGBH Boston Public Radio. Chelsea Murray, Will Rose, Amanda McGowan, John Parker, and Devin Karambulis. Thank you very much. I am Marjorie Egan.
And I'm Jim Browdy.
Thanks for listening. Please tune in again tomorrow.